They don't see you, so you don't have to worry about smiling because they can't see if you are or not.
Okay. I think I should smile nervously anyway.
That's all right. Yeah. Okay. I sit here and talk to myself usually for an hour. We all got our thing. Welcome back, Tipsy Theologians. It's great to see you. Great to know that you're listening. You guys look wonderful today. Can't see you, but I can imagine. Well, if you hear that laughter, that is right. We have another guest. It's a wonderful time to be alive. We have joining us today Deborah White.
Yo.
Old church mate is what she told me to say.
I didn't know another way to say it. I didn't know what to say. Hi. Hi. So, hello, everybody.
Say hello. Guys, be nice.
Yeah, because I'm nervous. Not too much on me. Thank you. Right?
And just get right up in on that mic, too.
Oh.
Don't be shy.
Is that better?
That's so much better.
If my lip make sure touches we hear this you. And it starts to itch, I'm suing.
That's fine. I'm not held liable. But somebody will be, and we'll find out.
Oh, Lord. Pray for them.
I'm trying to think, because how did we first meet? Was I heard you sing at church before I think I talked to you.
Everybody did.
So. True.
I think, no, it was like one of the first times you came to YA.
Oh.
Yeah. And I
young
was
adults,
I,
for anyone.
I was just thinking about that the other day and I didn't even know. Cause I was like, I think the first time I talked to you, I was like, oh my God, you're Paul? Because everybody was telling me, oh, you have to meet Paul because you guys are both so funny. And I was like, everybody's been like, oh my gosh, Paul, oh my gosh, Paul. Like, and that was how it started.
So, I'm being flattered.
Right. Cause everybody was like so excited about me meeting Paul. And I was like, well, I have to meet this Paul, you know?
Awesome.
It's imperative. And then I meet you and I was like, oh my God, he's adorable. Like, I do love Paul. Everybody was right. Like, oh my Dang. Goodness. But I think that was like the first time. It was like a, because I think Wyatt had just started, but you were I think you had came to like the second or third meeting. And so
yes.
It was about like a month or so in. But yeah, that was like our first meeting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dang. I think I kind of remember that now. Because I think I remember you saying, oh, you're Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you told me about you stuff on the floor, and I was the only one who got it.
Oh, that's right.
I was like,
that was that night.
It is very comfortable. Childhood trauma came in handy that one time.
People still ask me if they're like, do you still sleep on the floor? I'm like, yeah, I do. It's quite comfortable.
It is. I don't like how they try to shame you about it. It's like,
you can't shame me. I know I'm getting better sleep than them.
For real.
And everyone's like, your posture's great. I'm like, well, thank you. It's the floor. Mm-hmm. I can't take credit for it.
Concrete slab every time.
It'll get it done. It'll get the job done.
It will.
Well, today we're going to be asking the tough questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do many who profess Christ still enable sin?
Mm.
And we're not just going to ask the question. Because that would make it a very, very short episode, wouldn't it?
I'm just not going to look at you. Okay. I'm just going to face this black thing on the wall here. Because I can't stop laughing.
That's all right. But yeah, we're going to be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be discussing it, trying to answer this thing, because it's a mess.
It really is, though. Seriously. And, or as much as I laugh.
Yeah, you know, terrible. It's a lot to discuss. It's a lot. It's going to be, I think it might be a little bit weighty, as most stuff is, I feel like.
So maybe it's good that we're laughing so much.
I think you got to balance it out somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably be dead if I didn't laugh as much as I do, so. I think
you got to take
company.
Your medicine.
Yeah.
Just laugh a little bit.
I think, what did King Solomon say that?
He's like medicine. Well, I don't know if that man laughed a lot, though.
Oh.
Actually, you know, I heard
all them wives,
one of my friends tell me this. Have not fact checked it at all. So Daniel, this one's on you. It's wrong. but apparently, Ecclesiastes, I think it's in the, I think he said it was Jewish people tend to read it as a comedy.
Oh, no.
And it's not known as, like, when they read it as, like,
Ecclesiastes is heavy. It told me that there was no hope in life. It's like, nothing matters.
Yeah, that's, I could go on for a while on Ecclesiastes. Like, it's cool. But I thought that was funny. I was like, oh, that's great. It's like an old,
it's like a mockumentary.
Yeah, you know, one of those old comedies, which, like, not like, ha, 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 super funny. I guess kind of like that, but, like, if you think of, like, Shakespeare comedy plays and stuff like that. Yeah. Like the tragedies and stuff.
Oh, no.
Even though they, I guess they think it's funny. So I'm like, that's kind of cool. Imagine like Jerry Seinfeld reading it. It's all vanity.
Literally, anyway, though.
No. I'm a little thirsty.
Oh,
are you thirsty?
Yes.
So I asked Evra, I was like, so we typically drink alcohol, but you don't, it's not a requirement, as you guys know. Sometimes we drink some other stuff. She's like, let's drink some other stuff. I was like, sounds good.
I have a really funny story about that, actually.
I want to hear about it.
Okay. So, and oh my God, I just confessed it out of nowhere because I wasn't even planning to talk about this. But so, originally, what was that? Was that like early August when you asked me about the podcast? Or was that like
late June? I think it was in June.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because so, I was in Ireland at the time.
You were, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I kept seeing your story, and I was so jealous. Oh, gosh. But, so, do I call you Paul, or do I say you? Do I talk to them?
You. You can call me Paul. That's all right.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't That's know if I talk to them or by. You. Or, like, I don't know if I say, yeah, when Paul first asked me about being on the podcast, I hadn't really drank anything. And so I was very, and I had really... I was kind of reevaluating a lot about my faith in the last few months since the beginning of this year. I really have been really reevaluating my life and what I feel about everything and basing my feelings off of them being flesh. And then what does God say? And so,
yeah,
I hadn't really thought about like, drinking. Hadn't gotten to that yet. And so, and like, I've come out of a very religious place in my life. Like, I grew up in, I was in the same church for 19 years, grew up there, born and raised. But it was not really ran as a church. I'm like coming to more of the realization every day that it was like almost, unfortunately, more like a cult than anything.
Oh, jeez.
And so it was, but it created like this weird religious spirit within me. And so, God has been like breaking me out of that since I've been out of that since I went 2020, like 2020.
Okay.
But
that's not the church I go to now. I was like,
Yeah. No, it's not.
We're doing math in here.
It's not. It was my childhood church. But okay.
I'm glad you're out of there.
Oh, good. God, me too. I'm sorry how it happened, but I'm sorry I left. But like,
yeah.
So I was really kind of rigid still on like drinking and what that all meant. And, you know, so at first I was like, I don't know if I should do that. So I was just like, no, yeah, let's just drink some other stuff. And I didn't realize that.
Let's just drink some of this stuff.
I didn't realize that's how that energy like relay over the message until you just said it. It was like, yeah, we got to drink something else. I don't know about that. But now I'm kinda,
oh, no, you didn't say it like that. Like,
oh, okay.
I like to. You know, dramatize it.
Yeah. No, but that's, I mean,
I gotta keep these people listening. So.
Right. I didn't mean it like that in like a attitude-ish type of way, but I did. Yeah. I was kind of like, I don't know what that may do to me. And so
yeah,
I was really like, and I still feel like that to a certain extent because I, since then, in that very short amount of time, I've actually like had a drink, I think maybe about two or three.
What was
the
your
number
first drink?
Keeps going up.
What was your first drink?
it was like a wine cooler, I think. It was like, oh no, it actually wasn't. It was oh, Jesus.
Like, I'm just curious. I'm just asking questions.
I just started, but so my aunt, she actually had like some, it wasn't like foolproof vodka, I don't think, but it was like,
oh, you went to the hard stuff.
No, it was like that. It was like mixed with like some kind of fruit juice. It was like I think pineapple or something.
Oh yeah.
It was like that's nice. Like concentrated stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had, but I only had a little bit. Like I don't know.
Like, why do I feel so good?
Right.
Like, why is this spicy?
I like juice, apparently. Right?
I think the first time I tasted it, it was like in like a slushie, and then I had some a little bit later, like a few weeks later. Mm. So that was like my first experience. And then after that, like, I think I had like some kind of wine cooler. It was like, I don't know if it was rosé. It was like a white wine or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. Right, okay. It was the first time I tasted it. I was like, that religious spirit. I was like, I don't know why people drink these things. It's like, this burns me. And now I'm like, hey, let's go.
I do think there might be some like generational thing in why some people might like it. Because the first time I tasted it, I was like, this is delicious.
The burn feels so good. No, and what's funny about that, I think I stayed away from it so long. And I'm not trying to put my dad out there like that. But he tells his own testimony. Mm. He was like a really big alcoholic in his day, back in my day, you know, like he has told some stories. He would testify in church about how he would try to get all the alcohol out, and he would even eat the worm at the bottom of the bottle. Mm. And he would drink rubbing alcohol, and so I was like, I don't want no parts of that. Especially, I'm a person who likes to do research and study, and I want to know what the history of this stuff is before I kind of go into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I was, I read a couple of studies, and then y'all talked about how if the dad was an alcoholic, the girl is more prone, sometimes the daughters are more prone to have that trait.
Interesting.
And I was like, the way my life's set up, I don't know if I need to get involved. Like, because I'll be on the side of the road.
Shaking
change, asking so I can get a beer. I ain't got time for that. And so I kind of just, and even in my naivete, I think that was God kind of keeping me protected. Yeah. Because, you know, when you go through things and you don't have all the knowledge you need, and you are still trying to build that relationship, it's with the Lord. Yeah. It's you don't need to take no chances on stuff like that. Mm. Because, you know, even when I was not, I've always kind of been like a very zealous person about what I believe. Mm. And somehow I still turned out okay. Even though I had some, even though of where I was raised, I still, you know, God still kept me in this space where I'm not too far gone, where he can't, you know, get me back. Like, because most of the stuff that I've always believed, it was okay for me to believe. Like, and so I'm grateful for that, even though the church I came out of, it wasn't where it should have been. I'm not like those, but like, I'm not like in those closed, really weird cult communities that you come out into the real world and it's like, oh, this girl, she done lost her mind, you know? So,
I mean, that can be such an issue. I think there's like a fine line between, like, I think people need to know what's out and what's happening to some degree. Obviously it's like, You don't have to experience everything to know it's not good or that it is good.
Right. I've learned a lot from other people's experiences. Like, I will never have a baby daddy. Why go through that?
Doesn't work out for
like,
everyone.
I mean, no. God bless all the baby mamas and daddies. Like, y'all did y'all, you know, I love y'all. You know, I'm here with you. But thank you.
It's not for you.
Thank you for your testimony.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, no. Because it's too much. But, and so stuff like that, I've
but I think if you, like, and that's where I think a lot of people, even that I knew, it's like they were so sheltered growing up that they were protected from everything to such an extent where then when they learned about it, they're like, oh, and they just go crazy because it's bad.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason that happens.
And it's like, and when you're already in a strict,
I think it's a lot of, it's like they feel like they were lied to.
Right.
When it's like, no, you were just not given the full story about it.
Yeah. And it really comes out of a place of like trying to protect. And I've had this conversation with my mom a lot. I'm like, I don't know if I want to have kids yet. Cause, well, not yet, Jesus. But like, or it's, really, it was like at all.
You just said you don't want to have
Like, I said yet to kind of lessen the blow of of a female saying she doesn't want to have children, because that's like a whole other thing. But but like I would tell my parents, I was like, I don't know if I want to have kids like ever, because of a lot of the things that happened to me growing up, and then just the way the world is now. And then it's like, how do I protect them but still let them know, like, this is what I'm kind of protecting you from. So you don't go out here and your life is ruined, and you know, and I don't want to mess you up either. You know what I'm saying? Because like, your mama, I don't know, something might be wrong with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But
I think that's all part of growing up, though, knowing that it's like, at least for me, it's like, all right, my parents didn't know everything. They were kind of figuring it out as they went.
Right. And I think that was like a big...
And where I think everyone's there.
Right. That was a big thing for me, because I was like, how could they have done this to me? I have been betrayed.
Like, I've been betrayed.
But it's like, you have to, and so it's important to have those conversations, especially in certain communities when it's like a stigma against it, like Christian communities, Black communities, you know, other, you know, spaces in the world where it's like kind of taboo to talk about those types of things and go to therapy and really sit down and have those hard conversations. But it's so important, and it's important in general, but it eliminates that passive aggressiveness, and y'all kind of throwing subliminal shots all your life, and nothing ever gets solved.
Yeah.
And it never comes to light. And then now you have all of these generational cycles and curses that are just following down. And now, you know, now you see the same thing that happened to you happen to your kids, and they're picking up the same stuff. And you're like, that looks familiar from somewhere. And I don't want to go through that. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I have to have these conversations. And so upon talking with my parents and hearing other stories from aunts and uncles and, you know, grandparent, I only have one left, Jesus. But so sad.
Yeah.
What did Angela say? Some of us have to be our own grandmother.
I'm riding grandparents free right now, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. She don't even like me.
That's her fault.
I still love her.
That's good.
But it's so important to have a conversation, because once I did, I learned that they could only do what they knew. You know, you only know what you know. You know,
yeah,
and so you can't work outside of something that you don't have. Mm-hmm. I think that's the importance of making sure we really lean on God. But also, we have to give grace, because we're still, you know, we're spirits in the human body, but we're still
humans.
We're human, real flesh and blood.
Through and through, I'm still a human being.
Yeah, I'm
as
a
much
bleed.
As I try.
As soon as you cut me, I'm a bleed. Like, for real. And so I think that really kind of helps to be like, okay, I'll give you a little inch of grace.
That's good.
So, yeah.
I'm thirsty.
We like still this transition, got to this water.
Like this transition.
Oh my gosh!
So, I would say, so about the water. So you were like, "Oh, I want Zephyr Hills." I asked, "What's your favorite water?" And you said Zephyr Hills, and I was like, "Really?
Spring water?"
I'm like, "Really? Zephyr Hills?" No shame, but I mean, okay.
Hey.
So I surprised you, because I was like, "We're gonna do a little taste test between." I got three waters.
Yes, and here I am making squiggles in the frost.
So I got Fiji water.
Yes.
Icelandic glacial water.
Yes.
And Zephyr Hills.
Yes.
And we're going to try these and see what we think. The differences between the waters.
My.
I thought it'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, I was looking at palate cleansers between waters. It turns out water is a palate cleanser. Is the one that people use.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think you can really cleanse your palate to drink a different water.
I mean, the difference between spring water and tap water is a lot different.
So it looks like your eye in the Fiji. That's the first one.
I'm just going
to. Yeah, crack that bad boy. Yeah. we like the ASMR.
Yeah. ASMR. Okay.
Whoa, don't be stingy.
I'm so sorry. I'm parched.
And without a cheers, wow.
Oh, you see,
you
I'm
really
not used
don't
to drinking.
Drink. You really don't.
Like,
cheers. That's a good balanced water right there. That's Fiji water. And according to ChatGPT, it's a unique source. Fiji water is sourced from an underground aquifer.
Wow.
In the remote Ikara, I think that's how you say it, valley in Vita Levu, Fiji. That's cool. The water is naturally filtered through volcanic rock.
Oh.
That's sick. which imparts it with a unique mineral profile and taste. Yes, absolutely. I can taste all that. All right, next we got the Icelandic water.
Oh, wait, let me finish.
So, oh, yeah, sorry, go for it. So this one, it's one of my favorites, and same with Fiji. As everyone knows who's listening, I'm a big brand. I like packaging. And so the fact that Fiji has such a beautiful bottle.
Yes. Hey, like, yo, Fiji, get at my dog.
I'll drink that water. Same with this Icelandic. It's got like this cool like mountain glacier top to it. And it's so cool. So therefore it tastes better.
Right. Because I think it's an experience. You have to really, you have to sell that.
Yeah, I make a lot of alcohol purchases based on the package.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It all comes down to the bottle, if I don't know. Does it taste pure and pristine?
I do taste the difference. I do taste the difference. Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to think of how to describe it. I feel like almost like the Fiji is somehow flavored, but I guess that's what they were saying.
It's got more of that mineral flavor to it.
Yeah.
But this, to me, it tastes like melted snow. You know what I mean?
That's a really good description. Yeah. That's like really good. Hey, yo, Icelandic, get at my dog.
I got a palate. Just for water, though.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Icelandic water is renowned for its exceptional purity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It comes from natural springs and glaciers in Iceland.
Okay.
That's the ice flavor.
Mm-hmm. Keep them coming.
A country known for its strict environmental regulations and clean environment.
Yes.
That's a little redundant. Iceland's geothermal activity also contributes to the unique characteristics of its water. I can attest to that.
Yes.
Well, last one we got is, which one's your favorite so far between those two?
I think I'd have to say the Fiji.
Okay.
Because I like a little flavor, but you know, I think they're both really good. If you can't get, you know, or if you have it to spend on Fiji or Icelandic, I would definitely do that. But, you know, I feel like...
We got the Zephyr Hills.
I feel like it's a good option for people who shop at Walmart.
Right.
I've just not recently got on spring water.
Because
I was like purified all day. And actually, it used to taste really weird to me. But then research. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Thank you.
I'm just going to turn a little bit so it's a little easier.
Thank you, there.
You're welcome.
So, I recently started, what, in the last year, probably? Oh, sorry, my mom is right there. But, like, within the last year, I've started to drink the spring water.
Mm.
And, like, Zephyr is, like, my brand. Yeah.
That's that go-to.
Yeah.
It is Zephyr, and it's a Florida spring water.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool. We got Zephyr Hills just above us.
Yes.
And Zephyr Hills is well-known. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It is a well-known brand of bottled spring water in the United States. It originates from natural springs located in Zephyr Hills. That's right. A city in Florida.
Yeah.
Actually, my buddy just moved back to Zephyr Hills.
Oh, man.
That's where he grew up, and he decided to go back. He couldn't get enough of that water. He needed it right from the source.
Tell him to give me a little bottle of it.
And it is sourced from underground springs in the region. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that really is.
I think it gives it its little, like, sulfury flavor.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really balanced flavor. And I think when you've mostly tasted tap water, anything above that is going to be amazing.
Especially Florida tap water. It's not good.
I recently started learning about hard water, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Man. I wonder if it's somehow sticking to my insides now.
Oh, like, dang.
What's going on here?
I feel it in my bones.
Is this what's going on?
Yeah, we don't want that.
What is this?
The water is to purify.
Amen.
So which one do you want a full glass of? With that Zephyr Hills, are you trying to hit that Fiji water?
I'm trying to get that Fiji. Fill it up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm going with the old Icelandic. That's all right, just
melted.
That's my thing. It's good. I think especially now, because we're kind of in the fall.
Yeah.
Almost. It is officially fall now, I think.
Yeah, my mom just told me the other day that today was the first day of fall? Or is it like... Or Saturday was. Yeah. See,
yeah, I think today or tomorrow, I think. I don't know which one the equinox is on. But it might be. So, talking about people, especially Christians.
My Lord.
There's a lot that call themselves Christians, but do some... not so quote unquote Christian stuff.
Very much.
So when it came to this, let me ask, so what drew you to this topic in particular? Like why do you care about this one?
Yeah, so like I said, I grew up in like a church cult
yeah.
for basically the formative years of my life.
Mm.
And so 19 years old, unfortunately, our pastor passed away, and now I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm feeling like God, you know, tugging me to get on about it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what to do because now my parents are taking over the church. And so like, do I stay and help them or do I like leave and go out? So of course I ended up leaving. And in that process, I began to really wake up. I realized that I was under a strong delusion. And so God led me to, I ended up coming across the video from this lady named Tiffany Montgomery. And she was talking about just, you know, being holy. And I can't remember. I just remember her saying that she used to be a nail technician, and like the Lord would use her in such a way to know, like when she would do like pedicures, and just when she would look at their feet or their nails, she would know what kind of conditions they had, and she would be able to tell them what they need to do to be healed from whatever it was.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so I started following her from there, and she, you know, she was the one, she wouldn't expose people, but she was exposing the spirits behind people. Mm. And so around that time, I was rededicating my life to Christ because I realized I don't know if I was ever really saved because of what I came out of.
Mm.
And so I didn't have anybody to really talk to about this. I had just met some girls from the church I ended up going to next. And so I kind of was like trying to fill that out and see where that would go. And so that's kind of like how I capped upon this, because basically I realized it started to dawn on me, even though I had been in quote unquote church.
Yeah.
What looked like a church from the shallow end.
Yeah.
I was actually a babe in Christ.
Hmm.
Because we never really were taught the true fundamentals of what it meant to be a Christian and what it meant to be holy and what it meant to know the things of God and how, you know, just certain things work. Like, we weren't taught, you know, praying in the spirit. We weren't taught.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. There's just a lot that was missing.
Right. And thank God he gave me a curious mind. So I was kind of already studying some of this stuff. I just didn't have a full understanding of it.
Mm.
But I realized that I still was kind of stunted in my growth compared to where I should have more than likely been. Mm. And I think I'm still kind of working out that where I should have been thing, because it's like I feel like we're all on our own journey. So I try to stay away now from saying like I'm somehow behind of where I should have been. But I feel like I don't know how to say it. I think I just realized that I was a babe in Christ, for lack of a better term, even though I had been in this place for almost 20 years. And so realizing that, it's kind of like that fresh Christian thing where you're like, oh my goodness, I'm just on fire for Christ and I want to tell everybody. And I already was a zealous person.
Mm.
And so... if I believe in something, I'm gonna make sure I do my research, make sure I have it down packed, and I'm going head first at it. Like, you know, you're gonna catch these hands. And so I was like, man, now I know I got real power. And so, cause I was like, you know, I got God backing me. So what's really finna touch me right now? Let me go ahead and say my piece and get on up out of here. Cause I don't really care what y'all got to say now. Anyway, I ain't got no friends. Don't nobody even really like me like that. So, hey, might as well go ahead and upset y'all real quick. You know, go ahead and get this work.
Let me drop this bomb and I'm out.
Right. Hiroshima, you know. And that wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really the thing of like, I'm just going to upset people for the heck of it. It was more so, because it's not even about upsetting the people. It's about upsetting the demons behind which you know, that are using the people. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that don't understand that the things that come out of their mouths and these thoughts that they have and these that relate into actions and, you know, consequences, you don't realize that came from you opening yourself up to certain things. And now you're dealing with the consequences of it. And you think it's just life. And it's not. You opened yourself up to something. And now you're idolizing a different God. And you're preaching a different Jesus. And this is, you know, a lot of people don't believe in curses and stuff. Like, that's Old Testament. But the New Testament says you preach a different Jesus, that's a curse. And so I think once I learned that, even as what I consider myself as a babe in Christ, I was very much appalled. Because I was like, because it reminded me of the trauma I went through at my childhood church. And so I was like, so it was kind of like a thing of, I don't want anybody else to go through this. More than it was, I wanted to upset people. I wanted to expose those demonic spirits behind behind these people and the things that they were saying. To really kind of yank them out of it.
Yeah.
And like,
when
hey,
you see things that remind you of what you had growing up.
Right. Yeah. And so that was kind of my reasoning for why I kind of got into it. And it just really never left, that zealous... the zealous spirit for truth, and it just grew. My curiosity grew, my wanting to like really understand the word grew, and the history behind it. Because people don't understand that the Bible is such. This is why, I mean, it's God's word, but it's why it's the bestseller of all time, and they had to take it off the list because, because it's a book with so much. With so much wisdom and knowledge, and it's like if you went to the golden city of Atlantis, you know, it's like you're going into like a literal gold mine, and there's so many different, and it just thinking about like the literary side of, there's so many different ways that it should be interpreted based on what you're reading, thinking about the history of it, who wrote it, what time, in what time period did they write it, what was going on in their life. And so that all the hunger of all of those different things just grew. And so I wanted other people to experience it. I was like, this is so cool. Like, how have I not known about this? So yeah, that was it.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that can happen so much too. And to what you said about, because I mean, I think we all feel it to some extent. We're like, oh, I wish I knew what I know now then.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you probably wouldn't have known what you know now if it wasn't for then too. Not to say that it has to happen, but it's like, yeah, I think there's a lot of good that can come from stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even though it still sucks.
Right. It really does. Because especially, because, you know, back to this whole zealous heart.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been someone who believe, if I believe strongly in something, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to voice it. And so I had been so strong. I had spoken so strongly about other stuff. And some of it, the wrong stuff, usually in defending people who had deceived me. And so I was like, how could I have not seen it? Oh, my goodness. And the Lord had to really rein me in from beating myself up about it. Because a lot of times he is showing us things and we choose not to listen because our love for people, our reverence for people instead of for God, it will dim our discernment. And then, you know, if you have, you know, certain spiritual gifts that give you an even deeper insight into it, like the gift of discerning of spirits, your love for somebody, your hope that, you know, you're not being deceived, your hope to like, you know, that this whatever you're seeing is not really happening, will it will dim your spiritual sight to what's actually going on. And so I think that's a lot of what happened. And to for me specifically and for other people, even though I was really young still. But yeah, I kept seeing and I was like, oh my goodness, something has to be done. And the only one that was talking about it was, I love her. I don't know her in person, but like Tiffany Montgomery. And so like I kind of just started listening to more to what she was saying. But even with her, I had to learn how to keep my distance because I can't be someone who just bandwagons with everything. And so it had to be a, you know, a balance there. And I had to understand that, okay, what are you being riled up by? Is this really, you know, holy conviction or righteous indignation? That's the word. Is this really righteous indignation from the Lord, or are you just, are you just piped up because this lady talking with her chest? Like, which one?
Right. Yeah. So, no, that's a great question. Because yeah. I think a lot of times we get so excited about the emotional charge that it, and we get motivated. And it's like, yeah. That's
and it's so much overstimulation.
But we don't go back to think, like, does this go in line with what Scripture has said?
Yeah.
That's where I think it's so important. That's what I usually try to tell people. I do this myself. It's like, yeah, like, look at what Scripture says first, and then get a second opinion.
Right.
And be like, right. Is how I'm reading this correct?
Right. And I think that's something that I had to work on, too, because people, you know, once you start speaking out, people like to ask you, well, what do you think about this? Or what mm-hmm. do you think about that? As if I should have... And I don't think they realize what they're actually asking, but it almost sounds as if they're saying, what is your personal opinion? But when we're talking about things as serious as salvation mm-hmm. and eternity, because that's really what it boils down to when you're talking about where sin is going to get you or where righteousness yeah. is going to get you. You're talking about eternity, basically. Mm-hmm. And so not only your eternity, this Fiji trying to do me in.
That volcano's boiling up.
Not only your eternity, but, you know, the eternity of others. Like, it's yeah. not just about you. Or, you know, there will be no... there. Once you get saved, you would just go on to heaven. Mm. If you weren't supposed to go ahead and grab somebody else out of the depths of hell. Mm. You know. And so, I think it's very important for us to realize why we're doing what we're doing. And to make a decision to say, hey, you know... And this, you know, it sounds cliche now. Good Lord. Cliche. It sounds cliche. But for God, I live and for God, I'll die. Because what can you really do to me? Right? Because this is not persecution. Yeah. Getting bullied online is not persecution. Like, it's not. Because some people are getting their heads cut off in other countries for having a Bible or for quoting John 3:16. It's not persecution. It's not. And so it's like, okay, you call me ugly. What? Or you think I should be quiet because I'm a woman and I shouldn't be talking. Okay. Should I cry? Do you want a cookie? What? Like, and so I'm just like, I might as well go ahead. Like, and I take it so seriously. And so I really pray about the things that I say and do. And that's why sometimes people don't hear from me for a while. And they'll be like, oh my God, you ain't really talked about it in a while. Yeah, because I haven't been to say. This isn't about me, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's where it comes from. I feel like I talk so long in these responses.
Oh, all right. We're here to hear you. We're here to hear you. Yeah, and I think it is important because actually this, I think it's a cool topic what we're talking about, especially in light of the episode I just did with my good friend Adam Cotinenza, talking about the third commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, to kind of summarize it, bring everyone here, where we kind of ended with that is looking at, I guess, rephrasing it in a better way,
mm-hmm.
sounds a little blasphemous to say, probably, is
oh,
like,
Lord.
It's the third commandment is speaking more against just like swearing,
yeah.
and it's speaking more to, if you're going to profess Christ, you've got to represent him well. You're representing the name of the Lord. And so, you know, whether that is, you know, if we feel a calling to speak the gospel to somebody, if there's that moment, then it's like we need to represent him well and do that. Or if it is when it comes down to like saying mean things about people, it's like you're not representing the Lord well when you do that, if you're professing his name.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, those things are all important. If we're going to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian and you're ugly. I'm pointing at the door right now.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's not very nice.
Right. Yeah.
And also, is that a representation of what the Lord thinks about somebody?
Right.
I don't think he cares.
No. I think the only reason, because people talk about that, about that there was a
what
distinction.
What I mean by that is not care how you look.
Right. Right.
Not like he's like, you can say whatever you want.
I don't think so. But no, I think, because people talk about how there's the distinction between, you know, they talk about how King David was so great looking and Jesus was not someone you would take a second look at if you didn't know he was the Son of God.
Right.
But and based, you know, talking.
David, he was probably a redhead too. Which is interesting.
Let's not go into that right now.
I'm not a redhead, so I got nothing. I just think it's funny.
Redheads. Oh,
I just
love
that he's like a fiery boy.
I know.
Same with Solomon.
Yeah. I think.
Get that red hair.
Yeah, I think people, they feel like they have justification to say that people are ugly or not because the Bible made a distinction, but they don't realize God is practical. And so his word is going to reflect that. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the only reasons, because people try to use that as a justification for saying like, oh, you know, you're instead of just saying you're not my type, you're not my preference, because we're all, you know, we all are beautiful to God. We all look good to somebody. And so
yeah.
I think we have to really take that into account. Like, yeah. Is this really representing God? And I really try to make sure I'm not falling into a religious spirit when I think of that, but also giving myself a short leash to say, hey, you need to make sure that you're checking everything at the door.
Absolutely. So I think what's important when we're talking about is let's make sure we kind of define a little bit of what we're discussing. Mm-hmm. So, because I did an episode probably like a year or two ago talking about, it must have been 2 years ago now. It's crazy. Talking about Christianese, if you're familiar with that term.
Ooh, yeah.
It's kind of gross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the danger in that of being, we can often use Christian sounding words.
Yeah.
We have no idea what they actually mean. So let's take the time to be like, hey, let's define this word.
Right.
So we all know what we're talking about. So when we do that, so when we say profess Christ, that one's probably pretty straightforward, but like, what does that mean?
So I guess I'll just start with the basics about what it means to profess Christ. For me, and what I've understood about it is the first thing is your heart posture being right. You know, because the Bible says in Romans 8, 9, and 10, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're safe. So I believe definitely having your heart posture right. And that inward heart posture towards God, and then the outward expression of it, which is, you know, baptism, and also declaring like, this is my God, this is who I serve, and I'm rocking with him, you know what I'm saying? And so that also goes into witnessing and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, you know, with that, you have what we're called to do, which is our main thing, our main purpose as humans, all of us, is to worship God. And he says, I'm spirit, so you have to worship me in spirit and in truth. And so that goes into what it means to have a silhouette or breath, because that's what spirit, that's like the definition of what spirit is the breath and the silhouette. And when you think about the spirit of God, he's called the Ruach. I think it's, I can't pronounce the other word. I know it, but I can't pronounce it, so I don't want to mess it up. But it's the Ruach. I think it's HaKodesh. Oh, God, if I'm saying that wrong, I'm sorry.
I don't know that word, but I know Ruach.
But yeah, like, and so that's the Hebrew term for what the spirit of, who the spirit of God is. But when it concerns us, it's our silhouette. And so if you can kind of think of it as someone saying, oh, my goodness, I love your spirit. And so basically they're saying your essence, your personality. And so when we worship him, we're worshiping him with the very essence of who we are. And we're... It all ties into our gifts, our talents, our resources that God has given us. When we think about our individual purpose and worshiping God, that first started when we profess Christ. And so, yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, and that's I think with those verses you brought up too, there's definitely like a two-pronged side of that when it talks about what is it, like how do you become saved?
Yeah.
One part of that is professing.
Yeah.
The other part of that is getting your heart right.
Right. I think that's why people don't understand God is very practical, and so he's not going to do anything out of order. And it's kind of like, I hate when people put verses out of order. Like, that needs to be that he says this and this and this. Like the scripture where he says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There's a reason he put it that way. And so I feel like it's the same thing with making sure your heart posture is right, so you don't make the error of saying something with your mouth, but your heart is far from him.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for us to make sure that our heart posture is right. And then it is important for us to profess, because then he said, if you don't confess me in front of others, I'm not going to confess you in front of my Father. And if you do, I'm going to confess you in front of my Father. And so we have to be careful of both of those things. They go hand in hand. It's like it's one right with the other.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it where I think the Lord, I'm not in charge of it. But it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people that profess but don't believe.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It's really sad.
And I think that's I think that's what can kind of lead to some of the issues
that they don't know.
We're talking about. Yeah, some people just don't know. They don't realize what they're enabling is the word we're using.
Yeah.
Is in contradiction with what the Lord has told us to do. That's the other part of it. It's believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Is what you're saying is I want him to be the boss of my life. You know, what he says is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And if we're not doing that, it's like, well, do you believe in your heart? Sure, there's still, like, we sin.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah. We mess up. But that's where grace, and it's a process of sanctification.
Yeah.
We're justified. Amen. But there is a process in life that we go through.
Thank God. Because we'd be in bad shape.
Yeah. Because I'm not done yet.
Not even. For real. I got a lot more. Got a lot more sanctification to go through.
That microwave is still going.
What do you say? The bun is still in the oven. Okay. That thing is ugly.
I'm not pregnant, though.
Well, we're the bun. We're the bun. We are the bun in the oven.
I've just never heard anyone use that outside of talking about someone being pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. No, okay.
So then I guess on the other end of that, too, with that question is enabling sin. So, like, what does that mean? And then a subside of that, how do we define sin? Because I feel like that can be dicey for a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel like the enabling of sin, I feel like it's kind of like somebody saying, well, to everything, you know, you're confiding in these people, or you know, they're seeing what's going on in your life, and they're always saying, well, God gives grace, God gives grace, God gives grace, and He does. You know, if He wasn't, we'd be in that volcano with
Fiji water. Maybe some Fiji water.
But no, like he does definitely give grace. Very merciful.
So you're saying
God.
When people abuse the idea of,
right, when they abuse the idea of what the grace of God actually means.
Mm.
Some people
would call that, I think cheap grace is the one that.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
That. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that's right. But it's the idea of, like, it doesn't really matter. It can just kind of...
Right. It's kind of like that... I'm trying to put y'all out there, Baptist. But it's kind of like that once saved, always saved. I can do whatever I want because we're under a grace dispensation type thing. Like, we're under a new dispensation. I can sleep around. I can beat up my body with drugs. I can, you know, get drunk every night. And...
Depends on which Baptist denomination there is.
Right. I just know of the general... I just know the way I came up. So I'm sorry.
That's fair.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you can say whatever you want. But it doesn't bother me.
I just don't want anybody to feel like, oh, dang, she's just grouping us all together. I guess from my point of view, what I've heard and seen from the Baptists that I know.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, so, and I'm sure other people feel like that. Oh, you know, once they've always saved, I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a general thing, but... I think it's important for us to realize the importance of God's grace, and the reason that we have access to it is because of what Christ did. Mm. And I think I think always saying God gives grace, God gives grace, God gives grace without context of what that actually means, so that conviction can come through the Holy Spirit in those moments without being wise counsel to that person. So, you know, praying and making sure you're with God. And so what you say is actually coming from Him through the Holy Spirit. And then also admonishing them to do better. Because, you know, the Bible says that we can judge righteously. We're judging off of righteous judgment. We're judging by the word of God, you know, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we're not saying, oh my God, you're going straight to hell and we're condemning you.
Mm.
But we're just saying, hey, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. God is giving you grace, you know, to get it together. Mm-hmm. But hey, you need to have people help you be more accountable if you can't do it by yourself, or you need to take these steps to be more. You have to, you know, it's about, you know, admonishing them, because that's what we do when we witness and we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's like I'm back in church.
No, because no. I heard the alarm. That's why I started.
there's always the one phone going off. It
always. Oh my goodness. It's okay.
No, you're good.
It's all right. But yeah, we're admonishing people to you know, look at Christ. It's not like that whole thing of repent or perish. Like, we're not outside beating people with rocks and stuff, you know. But we're saying, like, we're admonishing them to, I mean, come on. You, it's like, because if you don't, we understand. Once you understand the price that Jesus paid, it helps. We will never fully understand because we're not in his shoes. But it helps you to better understand the seriousness and the weight of it. And then that helps you understand what eternity means.
Yeah.
There's no time.
Yeah.
You just, and you're just there. And so it's like, if you don't get it, like at a certain point, there's nothing that you can do. And I guess it's like to wrap that up. I watched, I always want to call him doctor, Pastor, Jesse Duplantis. He was talking about his time in heaven, and, a part of it, he was saying that he talked to Jesus and Jesus told him that his worst day hadn't come yet. Now this is all alleged, you guys. So I just want you to, I ain't trying to call him a liar. I'm just saying, you know, but I thought
I
it was very,
everybody, so.
Right. Oh, you have to. But I thought it was very interesting. He said Jesus was telling him my worst day is still ahead of me because I won't get to be their savior once I come back. If they haven't accepted me already, I'll have to be their judge. And he said that Jesus told him that when he has to wipe away all tears, he has to wipe away his tear as well. And when he wipes it away, that's the end of it. And so I think that is now a new reminder for me, you know, as I pray on it and really sit with that to, you know, to make sure I'm listening to the right stuff. But as God wills, that could end up being a new reminder for me as far as making sure that I take the sacrifice of Jesus serious.
So when we talk about, when we say sin, what does sin mean? What is sin?
So it's really, you know, read your Bible. Read your Bible, really. And don't take anybody else's word for it. Go in your Bible and see what God said don't do. Whatever he said don't do, and whatever he uses his people to say don't do in the word, and even through, you know, now for those who believe in it, I can't make you believe in nothing, but for those who understand the power of prophecy and word of knowledge, when God gives a word and says don't do something, you know, whether it's a generality for the entire body or a sect of the body, as in, you know, a certain church, a certain community, or if it's, you know, a personal conviction, like, whatever it is, but mainly out of God's word, you know, read the Bible. And whatever he's saying, don't do. Whatever he's saying, you know, stay away from. Whatever he's saying, abstain from. Whatever he's saying to you, do in moderation, or have in moderation. Take that. Don't just take it into account, but take that as a commandment. And really, something that the Lord told me a few years ago was that I'm not just saying and doing stuff to just say and do it. I'm not like some weirdo parent who just wants to control my kid for the sake of it. Everything I do and everything I say has been to protect you and bring you back to me. That's why I sent my son. That's why I let him go through the pain that he went through. And more recently, I learned that the word commandment in the biblical sense actually means prescription. And so when God is telling us to do something, his commandments in his final rulings, when he says do this or don't do this, his commandments are actually a prescription for us, because what it's doing is delivering us, is healing us, you know, because when you get a prescription for something, you're sick. And so you need help.
Yeah.
And in that prescription, your body or, you know, whatever is going on in you is now being regulated. And so when we don't take the prescription, we are at a deficit, and now we've probably more than likely made ourselves worse than what we were when we first went to the doctor. And so how much more should we take the prescription of God and use it in our lives? You know, so his commandments, that has been a great reminder for me. Oh, my goodness. And for anybody who may wonder where I'm finding all this information out about the biblical words of things, I use this app called the Blue Letter Bible app. It's very interesting. It has an interlinear. Jesus. Good Lord, that word tried to get me. It has a concordance, interlinear. It has a dictionary. It's amazing. They also have a website, but they have an app that works for, I know iOS, but I don't know about the Androids, you know. But they do have a website.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great, it has changed my life as far as like reading comprehension
with the word.
They have commentaries from, you know, different theologians. I don't really look at them because I've been in a place where I'm like, I just want to get it straight from the press. Like, and so, and they also do have different versions. I hate to say versions of the Bible because I feel like there's something different in translation, but I guess some of them may be a slightly different version, but because I learned recently that the writers of certain translations of the Bible had a different goal in mind when they were translating it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I guess sometimes there is a different version, but they do have different translations of the Bible, quite a few. So if KJV or NIV or whatever you read, you know, it's probably in there. But yeah.
There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, though, when we look at sin. This is one I wanted to, at some point, I'll spend a longer time on it, the concept, because it's confusing. I think that's the thing about it, because what's confusing about it is there are the things that God says very plainly, like, don't do that. It's like, all right, cool, that one makes sense. Yeah. It's right there. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
But then there are the other things that are more personal to each person. And I think that's what gets kind of confusing. I think even, so I have, I was looking at, was it Romans 14 and 13 here? Or wait, is that the right one? 23. This one is talking, it's in the section of do not cause another to stumble. And in this last verse, it says, but whoever has doubt is condemned if he eats, talking about food sacrifice, I believe, if I go right. Because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And I think with that is, that's where that, there's like that personal conviction side of it, but also the relationship with the Holy Spirit and how we're viewing things and understanding things. It's, It gets a little confusing about what exactly, and I think that's where, alcohol is a big one that a lot of people jump to, because it's such a it can be such an issue for a lot of people, and that's one where I think faith is very important when we look at it and how we pursue that, and also our personal conviction and how we approach it. But some people look at it the same way as they would any of the Ten Commandments or anything else that's very hardline. When it's like, it's really not that hard line when you take it into consideration.
Yeah. He said, don't get drunk.
Right. So it's important for us to, to know which category things go into.
Right.
Which can seem confusing in determining it. And half straightforward and half of it is debatable. And I think there are ways that we can make a distinction between those and differentiate those. But that would be like a whole nother 3-hour episode right there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times you have to use the wisdom of God. Like the whole thing with eating, did you say this? Like eating by faith.
Yeah.
I didn't want to misquote, but, I think that's kind of like using wisdom. Cause interestingly enough, I feel like that can go into your body's a temple. So don't make it an outhouse. Don't make it a Burger King. Don't make it a fast food joint when it's a temple of the Holy Spirit to be used and operated out of through him. Because when you're in a place where you're unhealthy, and I can speak to this because I am fat. When you're in a place where you are unhealthy, I have a better relationship with food now.
That's good.
You know, so I'm okay. I'm doing much better. But when you're in a place when you're unhealthy, you cannot do what you're supposed to be doing. And I realize that more and more as I'm on a health journey, not just trying to lose weight, but really just, you know, like actually eating healthy, because you can't outwork a bad diet. So all the other stuff, I can lift all the weights I want to, but them cheeseburgers got to go. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they're so good.
Like, but I actually have, I think, you know, it goes into a lot of different stuff. I'm not going to go into that. Oh my God. I almost went off into a tangent. I felt it coming. The Lord kept my mind. But I think it's really about using wisdom. You know, not just the eating by faith was an example, but with what you're doing, especially when it comes to personal conviction, because you can, anything you have an issue on, question about, can be found in scripture. God mm-hmm. wouldn't do that to us. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times we have to also, especially when it comes to personal conviction, we have to lean on Holy Spirit and say, okay, I need you to lead me to what I need to do in this situation, who I need to talk to, what I need to research, what I need to implement, what accountability I need to have placed mm-hmm. already. And so I do not fall into the trap of the enemy.
So I guess a question over all of this is mm-hmm. like, why does it matter?
Oh my goodness.
Like, why does it matter if people are enabling sin in people's lives?
Because when we say that we profess Christ, but we still enable sin, as people see us, usually the people that are, who do that seemingly the most that I've seen, unfortunately, are the ones who have the platforms that the world sees. And so I feel like even everyday people do it who don't have as much influence as people with big platforms. But, you know, musical artists who are Christian and gospel, and people who are ministers and pastors and evangelists and Christian, you know, the whole thing of this new wave of quote unquote Christian influencers on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook and all this different stuff. And when they see, when people out in the world see these people, quote unquote Christians, who are professing Christ, but they're on their God Gives Grace rant instead of on their repent or perish and, you know, making sure that we cry loud and spare not. And like I said, that doesn't mean shoving Jesus down somebody's throat. It's mm-hmm. really just making sure that we're reflecting him to the point where they say, what is it about you that is so different about everybody else, even in your own line of work, who also say they profess the same things as you, but may not be showing it? It's very damaging. It's very damaging. Mm. It's kind of like, a good way to think about it is if you think about how children, they grow up in one household. And so whatever they see from that household is what they generally think or believe about the world. And it's like a Chinese household is not going to speak English if they're in Asia. Mm. And so it's like, they're not going to come out the womb speaking English. They're going to come out speaking what their parents speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing.
Well, they're going to come out the womb speaking goo goo gaga.
Well, yeah. That's right. But once they learn how to talk, they're speaking what their parents are speaking.
With the people that they're around.
Right.
Right.
And so, and they pick up on the mannerisms that their parents or other people that they see. They pick up on the attitudes. They pick up on sometimes the curse words and, you know, euphemisms that they use that they shouldn't be using. Mm. You're like, where did you learn that? You know? And it's the same thing with people who are looking at us who have influence farther than the four walls of the church.
Mm.
When we have platforms that reach out into the world, when we're on stages, when we're, you know, speaking at places that aren't technically what you would consider to be Christian. Even when we're not in a Christian setting and they know us for that, though, I think it's very important to make sure that we're really on that line because... Well, we're not tiptoeing across it because what happens is they think now it's okay for them to do it.
Mm.
Just like with children. Because what they see is what they think they should do. And, you know, the old saying is, well, you don't do as I do, you do as I say.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? And so... but unfortunately, that's what a lot of people see. And so then they come to Christ thinking that, oh, I can, you know, I can still do, I can still sleep around. I can still smoke and kill my lungs. I can still, you know, whatever it is that they are doing that the Bible says they shouldn't do. Or that they know that it's not right. That they know, because really what it is like, God is telling us, don't do what I'm telling you is going to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, whatever that is, they think it's okay to do it because that's what they see. And they have been taught by the example of those who they see on these platforms to not take the word of God for it, but to take the word of the influencers for it. Mm. And that's always going to be the worst mistake to make. And so I feel like a part of it is people not telling people to read the Bible. Like, we always, and there's nothing wrong. God's church is amazing. The ecclesia is amazing. Like, God's body, Christ's body is amazing. And I would never be against that. And so, yes, be a part of community. Be a part of a God-fearing, Jesus-loving, and following church. But make sure that your relationship with Jesus is first. Make sure that you're not taking the word of your pastor, of your minister, of your group leader, anybody, your mom, your dad, the person who led you to Christ, over what you're taking of the word. We should be questioning everything. Mm-hmm. We should, just like children. Mm-hmm. We should be questioning everything. You know how kids say, well, why does this happen? And the first few times, you're kind of like, well, you know, you're happy about it because, oh my goodness, they're asking questions. But by that seventh time, you're like, I'm going to punch you like Baxter off of this bridge if you don't leave me alone. Like, but it's still good that they're asking questions, because it's like, but that's how we should all be. We should always be asking questions. Why are we taking their word for it? Mm-hmm. What if they're lying? Mm-hmm. What if they don't know? Yeah. What if they just don't know? What if they didn't do their research right? Mm. What if they're wrong? Why aren't you doing due diligence? Because you have to realize this is your eternity.
Right. And I think that's where it's really important, too, for us to make sure we have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit, who does profess and lead us and teach us, which is good.
Yeah.
And so when we do hear things like that, it's the only way we know Jesus. It's like the Spirit will attest to it, and I think that's important for us to know what that sounds like. Because I think oftentimes we don't, and so we're gonna miss something, or we're gonna misconstrue something. Cause it's like, oh, well, I don't have the Scripture to be able to balance it against this.
That's true. Oh my God, it's so important. It gets me out of so many things.
And I will say, it is important as well to be around people, be in, if it's a church, if it's friends, whatever it is, to be with people that you trust.
Yeah.
Because I will say, it's like having to sit and like not just being comfortable. I mean, that's, at least for me, like I know when I was looking for new churches, it was exhausting. So it's like you're listening to everyone and like, can I just take what he says?
Right.
And I think it's important for us to get to a point, and that's where it's good to find a good church and know who your pastor is.
Yeah.
And know who the leaders are to some extent. So that way it's like, all right, I can go on a Sunday morning and just be fed by what they're saying. Yeah. I can listen and receive it and trust that the Spirit is going to be like, oh, right. Whoa, what's that?
Right. What's going on here? And now you got to be on alert. You know, preachers are salesmen. And so that is what, in any type of way, they have trained to do. They're trained to sell you a good, you know, a good experience and a good word. That's you know, that's some of the basis of it. And that's not all of it, especially when you're actually working for God. But there's a lot of it. Who wants a boring preacher? Nobody's going to listen. Right. And so, and that doesn't mean, you know, theatrics, but it does mean that they're engaging and they're, you know, they're going to be sometimes dramatic, and they're going to be using jokes, and they're, because it's they're using their life as a testimony. They're using their life in the word, and so, but all of that sometimes can be a distraction, because you're saying, oh my God, I love their candor. Oh my God, I love what they're saying here. Oh, they must be right. But where does it line up with the word?
Yeah.
And how are we taking that into our lives and, you know, applying it when it does?
Yeah. And in order for that to happen, we need to be reading the Bible in our own time, so that we know if it's going to align.
Reading, studying, and meditating. They're all three different things.
Yeah, and it's true.
Right, and you can't really have, they all build on top of another. Like, and I think meditating is the most interesting, because it actually means so many different things. And
yeah.
Because you would think it just means like, I'm just supposed to sit here and think on it, but it also means to roar, and it means to think on repetitively and repeat repetitively. Hmm. Like, I'm not just thinking on it, but I'm also repeating his word. I'm meditating on it. I'm it's like I'm soaking in it.
Yeah.
And yeah. so I think that's really
letting
powerful.
It marinate.
Yeah, literally.
Love that word. It's a good word. I like it.
I said, did I say marinate?
I don't know if you, I thought I heard you say it.
Oh, okay.
If not, it came to my head. And so I think it's important to for us to be, I mean, at the end of this, it sounds like it's really important to be in the Word and to be around people that you can trust. But then yeah. at the same time, it's like knowing where your heart aligns and professing that rightly.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And I think that's where the whole, where's your belief in faith is. I think that's where yeah. that comes in.
So what's the difference between belief and faith? Mm.
So basically, faith in the Greek actually means relating to Christ. It's a strong and a welcome conviction that Christ Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. And it also means, like a synonym of the word, actually is fidelity or faithfulness. Mm. And so it's like, what am I? It's kind of like, what are you pledging? What are you pledging your allegiance to? What are you pledging your fidelity to? Kind of like if you think about, I love medieval movies. And so like when you think about those times, they gave their fidelity to the king or to the Lord of that region or that country, or that space. Yeah. And so it's like my allegiance, my fidelity goes to Jesus Christ. Mm. And so I have to make sure that my belief is in line with what I'm trusting my soul to, because that's really what it comes down to. Because fidelity is the character of one, well, your faithfulness or fidelity goes to the character of the one who can be relied on. Mm. And so Jesus can't be relied on. I don't know who can.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but so that goes back into he's dependable, he's trustable. And that is what we stake our beliefs on, because our belief is what informs our faith. I think it's important for us to, we always have to make the conscious decision to make sure that we're pressing in and that we're leaning on Holy Spirit as much as we can, because that's the only way we get to experience God. Mm. There's literally nothing else. Like, you know, because Jesus is not here, like, on the earth, but he's represented through Holy Spirit, just like God. And so, you know, he can't just be there with us and we say he's indwelling, but he's not operating in our lives. Because it's similar to, you can kind of take the example of in the beginning when he hovered over the face of the deep and over the waters, but nothing happened until God spoke. And so we have to declare, we have to make the conscious decision to say, Holy Spirit, I need you in this moment, out of our own mouths, and say, I need you to work. I need you to operate. I need you to be here in this moment. Because it's not just about a demonstrative act in front of people, but it's really in our own lives when nobody's watching. Mm. Like, I need you to be here with me. It's about building a relationship and saying, like, okay, it's not always easy to press in, but I have to make the conscious decision to, because if I don't, that's how the enemy that is crouching at the door is able to get in.
Right.
When I'm not. And so I think it's important for us to always be in that zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, not stifling the Spirit, not I guess quenching him is the other word. Mm-hmm. And that happens when we just ignore him.
Right.
And so it's really a call for us to not ignore what the Spirit is doing, to actually lean in and listen to what he's saying. Not like we can make these, you know, demands of him. We can't we can't really demand anything of the Lord outside of his will. And it's like, yeah, that's we need to listen to what the Spirit is saying, even if we don't like it. I think especially if we don't like it.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for us to be like, yeah, but I'd rather do this. And then he gets quieter.
Usually
and he stops,
when we know we
he stops speaking to us.
Right. Because he's like, okay. It's like the teacher. It's like, I'll wait. Wait till you wanna be an obedient child again.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna.
He's not trying to throw pearls before swine.
Right. No, he's not arguing with you. He's not arguing with us. Like, I always laughed at those stories when people were like, I went back and forth with God.
Like, you like, did what? I think he probably said the same thing.
Yeah. Or nothing. Like,
he's okay. Like, that's it.
All right, bud.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm gonna tell you what's right, and you do what you gotta do.
I said what I said. So said what I said, and that was the end of it.
No more discussion here.
Yeah, I'm not going back and forth with you. I'm not a swimmer.
So it is important for us to be aware of how we're living our lives.
Yeah.
And make sure we're guarding our hearts inside of that.
Yeah.
Because we want to, I mean, we brought this up in the last episode, the B side of the third commandment is the Lord is not going to hold those guiltless that take his name in vain, that yeah. don't represent him well. And so when we profess with our mouth not that we do believe in the Lord and that he is the Lord of our life, then it's important for us to act like it.
Yeah.
We're the imagers of Christ, and we need to start doing that. Amen. And if we say that and we don't do that, then he's not going to forget that.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's important.
He only forgets it when we repent. And that's more than just saying sorry.
Right.
But that makes me think about, and this hasn't happened yet, guys. We ought to all thank God and be glad about that. But in the first Left Behind movie, when the pastor is in the church and the man comes in, he's like,
is the one
no,
with him?
What? Kirk Cameron. The first one, like in 2001.
There's
Nick
one with
Cage.
Nicolas Cage. I love Nicolas Cage. Don't be talking bad about Nick Cage.
No, Nick Cage slander. I'm sorry. I love you, Nick.
But it's one of the, I should have said that's one of the rules on this podcast.
No, I love old Nick Cage, but what was that, 2012, 2014? I like the original one. Let's
don't
just
hurt
say
me.
That.
Don't
I'm
hurt me.
Sorry. He did a great job. How about that?
He's a great actor.
He is. But he just,
thank you. He's stop there.
A little worrisome sometimes. this is the first time I've ever been scared in your presence. Oh my goodness. I'm just playing. But no, like the original
yeah.
Left Behind 2001. The man goes into the church and he's like, are you the pastor? And he's like, yeah. And he's asking like, why are you the pastor and you're here? He was like, actually the scene before that, he was before the cross being dramatic. Mm. I preached your word. And it's like, boy, stop with these tears because you know you didn't even believe.
Quit your yapping.
I'm tired, granddaddy. That's too bad. I don't know where that comes in,
it's a
but
great movie.
It's kind of like, quit your yapping. Yeah. And so he was like, you know, I preached your word, but it reminded me of that scene and even the scene after that when the guy was like, why are you a pastor and you're here? Why aren't you in heaven? And he said, I didn't believe. And we know that belief informs faith. And so it also reminds me of those people who don't represent Christ well in their lives, but they're still being somehow used in certain demonstrative acts. Mm. A particular scripture that comes to mind is the one where God says, I'll have to say, what is it, Jesus who said it? Lord have mercy. Oh, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I knew you not. And these are the people who cast out demons in his name and did all these wonderful works in his name. And they're going to hell. When I realized the realization of that, he's basically saying, like, I'm going to have to tell them. I used them. And this is not like a fake thing. This is him. This is Jesus actually saying they told a demon to get out of a possessed person. And the demon left. And went back, you know, went to wherever they should be cast into. And that person who did that in my name is still going to hell. Mm. And so that lets you know that they misrepresented Christ with their life. And that's now, even though the demonstrative act that they did, they're now going to be judged.
Mm.
Because somewhere along the line, even while they were doing that, it wasn't for Christ.
Mm.
It wasn't in good representation of him. It was for their glory and not his. And so you received your recompense or reward, and you're going to have to stick with it. And so,
yeah, it reminds me of in Acts. I think it's chapter 11 or 12. Doesn't matter. It's in Acts. You guys can look it up. It does matter.
It doesn't matter. It took me down.
Doesn't matter because I don't know it.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's talking about Herod, where he receives the praise that the people give him for something
yeah.
That the Lord did. And then he died.
We're not meant to ingest glory. Yeah. That's what it is. It's to protect us. Mm. He's not just, he's a jealous guy. He doesn't want anybody before him and he deserves it. But we can't handle it. We cannot handle glory. It corrupts us because we're not sovereign. We're not holy. We're scum.
Like brutal.
Filthy rags, people. Filthy like, rags. Like
Dasani water.
Oh. Dasani, we still love you.
I don't.
We still want your money, though. Just in case you're watching or listening.
I'm sorry. I got to have some kind of standard.
No, seriously.
I don't represent that pond
like
water.
Right above, it's right above tap water. I was trying to be nice.
Not
Paul.
Above tap water, let's be honest.
My tap water. I live in the hood.
I'd rather drink that than Dasani.
I mean, after you boil it for about 20 minutes, it should be okay.
That's not bad.
No, but yeah.
Character.
This guy can't. No.
So, as we're wrapping up here, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to?
So, a big thing about making sure that we're not enabling sin and that, you know, like I said, it's not about shoving Jesus down somebody's throat. It's really just about our, first of all, our lives being an example. We have to make sure that we are our basis of truth is actually truth. And we know that Jesus says in the word that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And even in John chapter 14, verse 6, God is letting us know that he wants us to have the knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus. And so basically the knowledge of the truth is just knowing who Jesus is. And then with that knowledge that we now have, it's important for us to proclaim it, which is also a part of professing Christ. Mm. It's important for us to proclaim Christ and not just, and that's not just proclaiming Christ and saying, oh, Christ is my Lord and Savior, wherever we go. That's very important, but it's also important to make sure that we're the representation, we're the hands and feet, and we're the mouthpiece out in the world because we're like heaven's ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And so when we go out in the world, we need to make sure that our proclamation of Christ is basically saying, hey, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to do and say what the Bible does and says. Because it's alive and active. It's not did and said. It's does and says. The word is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Like, we have to make sure that we're on that point and that we don't let the world and the peer pressure and even our own feelings and our own opinions or outdated things that we have to unlearn that kind of try to infiltrate our train of thought or our belief system as it comes to God, or try to like it tried to be like the vulture who snatched the seed off of the, you know, off of the stony ground. We have to make sure that we are protecting the seeds that God is planting in us and allowing them to grow. You know, the Bible says that, you know, somebody plants the seed, somebody else waters it, and God brings the increase. Mm. And so we have to make sure that we're allowing God to do that work in us. And I think that's part of the sanctification process. Basically, we need the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to make sure that we're proclaiming Jesus everywhere we go, in every situation. And it's not just about saying Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Though that is important, we have to make sure that we're doing what the Bible said, that we're doing what the Bible says and does, because it's alive and active. And we have to make sure that we're protecting ourselves because we're seeds that God is allowing to blossom. And he's given us a seed, and we can't let it be stolen by a vulture. We can't let it fall to stony ground. We can't let it go into bad soil. We have to make sure that we're doing our part and our due diligence to proclaim the truth and speak it boldly, as loudly and as much as we can, because that is the only way that the world is going to know who Jesus is. It's through us, because if it wasn't, we'd get saved and go to heaven. We wouldn't still be down here struggling and toiling. And that's not all life is, but, you know, according to Ecclesiastes. But no, like,
it's funny,
you know,
stuff.
We wouldn't be down here longer than after receiving salvation through Christ, and a lot of history would not be what it is now if we were not supposed to continue to proclaim the mm-hmm. knowledge of the truth that we have received. It's now our duty, because freely we have been given, freely we give. Mm-hmm. And so what do we have to give that's actually important? I believe it was Peter and John saw the man by the gate called Beautiful. Mm. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you.
Yeah.
And through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, they were able to pray for that man. He got up. He was mm-hmm. healed. And the same people that picked at him at that gate that were going on their way to church, the same, you know, religious spirits and the Pharisees and Sadducees, people that looked over him in the community, they had to watch him receive his healing and watch him celebrate. Mm. And so we have to understand the what can I give them? You know, it's not always about a material thing. It's not always about mm-hmm. trying to, quote unquote, relate. You know, community is important, and it's good to have people who are like-minded, who understand where you're coming from, because they've had their own experiences. But we have to make sure that at the end of the day, we're proclaiming Christ, whatever mm-hmm. that looks like. And we need to know what that looks like in each situation. And the only way to do that is to know the knowledge of the truth. And the only way to do that is through Holy Spirit.
Mm. No, that's good. No, I appreciate you coming on and sharing. There's always a lot, and I feel like these conversations, they always lead into just more and more things, which is good. That's where truth is truth, and it speaks to other things.
Mm, that's good.
And that's awesome. That's I like good. That. That's why we're here.
Yeah. I heard something, and that's why I incorporated in the prayer before we started, about when you learn something about God, or when you're being taught something from someone else, when you're hearing a word, whatever it could be, it should be a conversation starter between you and God. Mm. And whether that is, and you know, that first starts with, okay, Lord, is this something I could take into my life? And then if he says, you know, yes, this is, you can apply this. How do I apply it? Where do I apply it? When? How do I implement it? So I think that's very important for us to remember when we think about that. It should be a lifelong conversation, you know. And I think that's the point of taking notes and making sure that we're studying, that we're reading, that we're studying, that we're meditating on his word. And when he leads us, that we're getting wise counsel from people around us. And we're also trusting him to lead us to people who've been where we need to go or where we're at, who have like personal experience that will help us. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
I thought so too.
That's why you said it. But yeah, so thank you again, and thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you hopefully sooner rather than later.